Hey listeners, Nicole Olstead here with Sharon Gamble on the Sweet Selah Moments podcast. We are so pleased you found us. Sharon and I pray that these episodes encourage you to learn alongside us how to be still and get to know the God who loves us all with his unfailing love. In this season, we are studying the stories of Jesus and his encounters with women. Today in episode 157 called When We Sin, and We Will, we are talking about the woman caught in adultery. Sharon, it's going to be a more somber episode, I think. Can you start us off with where in the Bible we find her encounter with Jesus?
Absolutely. It's interesting that she's never named. She's the woman.
Yeah, I know.
But oh my goodness, Jesus' treatment of her is so special and so precious. So yes, it's heavy. And yet at the same time, there's so many beautiful truths in it. Mm-hmm. So may God help us as we go through it. Well, the passage is in John, and is only in John. Matthew, Mark, and Luke tend to dovetail and do a lot of the same stories. And John, in my opinion, read all their stories, and he goes, yeah, but they left out some, you know?
Yeah.
So I feel like a lot of what John does is add in what they didn't. Mm. So, and John thought this was important, and I agree with him. So, okay, I'm going to read John 8, 1 through 11. Here we go. Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives, but early the next morning he was back again at the temple. A crowd soon gathered, and he sat down and taught them. As he was speaking, the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. They put her in front of the crowd. "Teacher," they said to Jesus, "this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say?" They were trying to trap him into saying something they could use against him, but Jesus stooped down and wrote in the dust with his finger. They kept demanding an answer, so he stood up again and said, "All right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone." Then he stooped down again and wrote in the dust. When the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. Then Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, "Where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you?" "No, Lord," she said. And Jesus said, "Neither do I. Go and sin no more." Hmm. Oh, my.
I know.
Oh, my. There's so much to say. There really
is. There's a lot
but
in there.
I have all these things I want to say about Jesus, but our rule is we start with the woman.
Right.
So why don't you go first? What do we learn from this teeny little snippet about the woman?
Well, I noticed right away that it said she was caught in the act. So I said, that's mortifying.
I was thinking the same thing. I think they were trying to say, we didn't make this up. We didn't just think it.
Right.
We saw them.
Yes. So I feel like she's presented on the scene and there's no way she can refute that she's not guilty of this. So there's no excuses. There's no getting out of it. Like, she was guilty. She was caught in the act and she was being led to her punishment. So what a terror she must have felt.
Oh, man. And they didn't do it subtly.
Yeah.
There's a crowd at the temple. Mm. I mean, Nicole, she's in front of everybody.
I know. And we don't know a lot about her. We don't know if this was a repeat offender or a one-time thing. It doesn't matter. It's still sin. But we don't really know much about her at all.
No.
So she must have been feeling pretty terrible at that moment.
I would think so.
And wondering who this man was in front of her writing in the dust and like, what's happening?
I wondered where the man who was also committing the act of adultery, because it does, after all, take two,
yes.
Where he was.
Yeah, I did wonder that too.
I'm like, why is it just the woman?
Mm.
And like you said, we don't know the circumstances. Was she coerced?
Right.
Was she the temptress?
Right.
I mean, God knows.
Yeah.
But we don't know. But I feel like if two people are doing something wrong, two people should at least be criticized. And it seemed like she was singled out.
Mm.
And I don't know if that's just because it's easier to pick on a woman.
Possibly, especially back then in that culture. They weren't held in very high regard.
No, they really weren't. Yeah. And so it was easier to drag her, perhaps. So.
Well, and the Pharisees and the teachers were always looking for ways to trick and trap Jesus, too.
Yes,
so
yes they were.
Who knows what they were planning and conspiring mm-hmm. with this whole situation. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking about how we don't know much about her, but Jesus knew her. He knew her whole story.
He did.
Which is so comforting yes. to us as we read it. Not to her yet. She yeah. doesn't know him quite yet.
No, she doesn't. But you know what I thought was fascinating?
Yeah.
When Jesus says, didn't even one of them condemn you? She doesn't just say no. She says, no, comma, Lord.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought, oh, man. I don't know exactly what weight that would have had, but it seems to me she's acknowledging him as Lord. As someone to honor and revere.
That's true.
And I thought, oh my goodness, she's humble at least to the degree, you know. Yeah. I can picture some evil woman going, what is it to you?
Right.
Go ahead and stone me, I don't care.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
That kind of brash and brazen, that's not present here.
Mm.
She says two words, mm-hmm. no, Lord. Mm-hmm. But the Lord blessed me. You know, that word. It just did.
Right.
It made me think, oh, honey.
That her heart
that was so nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's kind of cool. I didn't notice that.
Yeah.
We don't really get a lot about her, and I'm very curious about her.
Yeah. Well, the other thing that's fun to note is, okay, so Jesus is in the dust, you know, writing whatever it is he's writing.
Mm-hmm.
She's reading it.
Mm.
And as he writes, men are leaving.
Hmm.
If, I mean, a lot of people posit that what he was writing was liar, mm-hmm. unkind to parents. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know what he was writing. But if he were,
yes,
it's almost like Jesus is showing her they are not perfect either.
Right. Oh, wow.
Right?
Yeah.
So even in that, there's some comfort.
Mm.
So as they kind of like, well, I guess I can't pick up a stone. He's right. I'm not blameless either.
Yeah.
And what was it about what he did that made them, who were so self-righteous and so sure they were going to catch him, walk away?
Especially if there's something very passionate about self-righteousness and, oh yeah, she's a sinner. Grab it. If they're getting ready to stone her, to kill a woman by throwing stones at her, they have to be working themselves up into a frenzy.
Right.
I was just talking to a friend recently that had to kill a porcupine, and he had to work himself up to kill this little porcupine.
Oh.
And he said his heart was racing and he was all like kind of amped up. But to do something so violent, you have to be, you're not in a calm, logical
Correct.
State.
Correct. You're not.
So that is remarkable, Sharon, that just writing in the dust calmly, they slow that tension, that energy just kind of simmered down and they walked one at a time away.
Away, yeah. Even
wow.
the slowness was probably needed, even though it was probably harrowing for the woman.
Right.
But that very slowness, you're right, mm-hmm. calmed that temperature down.
Yeah.
And I tend to respond immediately and escalate
yes.
if somebody says something annoying.
Yes.
I speak before thinking way too often.
Yep.
And I'm like, oh, Sharon, why can't you be more like Jesus? Because mm-hmm. sometimes just being quiet,
mm-hmm.
just being quiet is the smartest thing you can do.
Mm-hmm.
And so the woman saw Jesus just being quiet.
Mm.
So, and then the last thing I thought was just the fact that Jesus said, I don't condemn you. What did that, how did she feel?
I know. The weight that must have lifted off of her shoulders, knowing that she wasn't going to die in that moment. And also, there was no condemnation going forward.
Yeah.
When he said to her, like, I don't condemn you. So she doesn't have to live with that, like, oh, that horrible feeling of sin, of unrepented sin. It's
yeah.
a terrible feeling.
Yeah. And she called him Lord.
Yeah.
So his opinion was one that she'd respect.
Mm.
And just go and sin no more.
Yeah.
Okay, I won't.
No, especially after seeing him handle the people that she would have had to have respected and listened to, those religious leaders.
Yeah.
To see him deal with them so calmly with such gentle authority, she must have recognized that this man has true power. This
yes.
man has something more.
Yes.
You know what? More weight.
I love that combination of words. Jesus had gentle authority.
Mm.
Well done, Nicole.
Oh, thank you.
Very nice little phrase
popped
there.
Out there.
I could meditate that on that for a while, but yeah. I won't do it right now because we're in the middle of a podcast. Okay, well, we're going to move on. And I had decided, which is a little weird because we usually just go right to Jesus' perspective.
Yeah.
But I wanted to look at adultery a little bit more because it's such a big topic.
Yeah.
And also because Jesus has some interesting things to say about it. So start out with what the Old Testament says quite clearly
yes.
about adultery.
I will. So back in Exodus 20:14, it says, "You must not commit adultery." So that seems pretty straightforward, I think, Sharon, you know, and I think I might think, well, I can keep that one. That requires quite a bit of work to get to that point. So I can safely avoid breaking that commandment. But before I feel all safe and secure in my righteousness, I think we should also read a few passages in Matthew as well.
I am in agreement. Why don't you start?
So I'm going to read in Matthew 5, verses 17 through 20. And I think Jesus does a really great job here of tying in the old law, you must not commit adultery, to the new salvation after he comes and gives us freedom and the Spirit lives within us with a way to practically live it out. So let's read Matthew. Don't misunderstand why I have come. I did not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. No, I came to accomplish their purpose. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not even the smallest detail of God's law will disappear until its purpose is achieved. So if you ignore the least commandment and teach others to do the same, you will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But anyone who obeys God's laws and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. But I warn you, unless your righteousness is better than the righteousness of the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. So I think he's helping us to not simply see a short command and think, yeah, I'm good enough, but to truly sit and ask ourselves what our motives and desires are and allow God to bring them to the surface.
Absolutely. And it's starting to sound a little impossible if you have to be better than the Pharisees, isn't it?
It does. We can't manufacture our own righteousness or perfection here. And I think we think, oh, if I can follow these 10 rules, I'm good, or all the law of Moses.
Mm-hmm. We always want a plan so we can check it off.
Yes. And it's so much more than just doing the mm-hmm. plan or the rules. So I think your passage really ties this all together.
Yes, I do. So here we go. I'm going to read Matthew 5:27-30, which also deals with adultery, but basically makes us all guilty.
Yeah.
In a way.
Yep.
So here we go. Jesus says, "You have heard the commandment that says you must not commit adultery. But I say, anyone who even looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So if your eye, even your good eye, causes you to lust, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your hand, even your stronger hand, causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell."
Wow. So it's interesting. This kind of talks about like the subtlety of sin. We think that, oh, I didn't commit adultery, so I'm good. But it can be so subtle. But Jesus' response is so strong to this. It's not subtle.
Not even a little bit. I always giggle about the cut out the eye because this is why.
Okay.
This is what I picture. I can't help it. Oh, really? Okay, then take out your eye. Oh, well, maybe I can help it.
That's a beautiful illustration. There's no excuse if you can kind of go back from there, like, oh, wait, actually, maybe I'll try a little harder.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like he would, you know how they were like, we caught her in the act. There's no excuse. He's
yeah.
saying, there's no excuse for lust.
Mm.
You can stop it. And if you can't, gouge out your eye. That's how important it is.
Right.
The other
right.
thing that's fun is that he says, if anyone even looks at a woman with lust, okay, who's in front of him? The woman. Mm-hmm. Who is he talking to now? The men.
Mm.
Right? I mean, right. obviously, women also are not supposed to look with lust on men.
Yes.
But it's interesting that he's singling out men here because the men are all about that bad woman.
Right,
and he's
right.
like, if you ever looked at a woman with lust, because then you're
it's
guilty.
The same. Wow.
Yes.
That is really interesting. I think The other reason why he kind of came on so strong about this one with the cutting off of the hands, I think it's because it's kind of one of those sins that can be all-encompassing.
Yes.
It can really trap you into a lifestyle, or it can hurt so many other people in the process.
Oh, it's
and it
so
does.
Yeah.
So I think he just really wanted to focus on how serious it is. You know, and sometimes he'll say these things that you're not actually going to cut off your hands. But there's another passage where it talks about, like, if you go to bring your sacrifice and you have sinned against your brother, there's something between you and your brother, you leave your sacrifice on the altar and go take care of it. You're not actually going to leave a rotting sacrifice for a week on the altar.
Yeah.
But it just shows, it's this big illustration to show just how important it is
yes.
for this not to overtake you.
Absolutely.
Because he knows how bad it is for us. It's not that he's trying to be mean and take away our fun. He really cares about us being completely entrapped in these sins that will just suck the life out of us.
They will. And it's not like you lust a little and you can stop. I mean, there's so many pornography addicts now.
Yes.
It's not a, nobody gets hurt.
Yeah.
Oh my word, people get hurt.
And some of these sins, they become bigger and you get a bigger appetite for them the more you do them.
Absolutely.
It's almost like, for me, sugar, like a sugar addict. Like if I have a little bit of sugar, I'm okay. But then I want a little bit more and a little bit more until I just can't stop eating sugar.
Yes.
And there's some sins that are just a little bit more like sugar. You just a little bit and you just keep on going.
Absolutely.
And I think this is one of
them. This is one of them. And if he doesn't underline it in triplicate with exclamation points,
yes.
they're going to miss it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nobody forgot that he said, well, then gouge out your eye, because it's so wild.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Here we are talking about it all this time later. It's not like people just heard. You know how sometimes you can hear a speaker and you kind of hear blah, 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 blah.
Right.
There was nothing blah, 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 blah about this.
That was a really
Everybody
good
was awake.
Yeah.
Oh, baby, were they awake.
Wow, that's a great point. And then if your eyes go to look, as they're looking at that woman, they go, oh, gouging out my eye. That does not sound pleasant. It's a good stop.
It's a good stop. It is. Okay. So, well, let us now talk about Jesus' view on adultery and his special kindness to the woman. What did you learn about our Jesus from this?
Just his overwhelming kindness. She clearly sinned. There was no excuses. It kind of reminds me of Clara. She had gotten into a big tub of chocolate hummus and it was all over her hands and face. And she had hid in the cupboard and was like eating out of it. And I was like, turn around. And she didn't want to. And then she turned around. She just covered in chocolate. I'm like, did you eat that hummus? And she's like, no, I did not.
Oh, for Christ.
Like, but you are covered in the evidence. So I just think of that woman just standing there like she was caught in the act. There's no getting out of it. Just waiting for her fate. And then his kindness. You know, he seemed to be reminding everyone there who was so quick to judge and out for her blood that they too were sinners.
Yes.
And so we are so quick to judge. I think because of the sin in our own life that plagues us, if we don't bring it to God, it's always there festering. And so it makes us so much more prone to find the faults in others, to relieve that guilt on ourselves, which is awful.
It is. Yeah. It's like, I'm bad, but I'm not as bad as that person.
Right.
Kind of thing. That comparison thing that's so deadly.
It's so deadly. And I think that when I start to become more judgy, I know that's when I need to sit with God because, okay, what am I running from you from that I need to address? Because I've become so, well, look at that person. Okay, what am I doing?
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, really, the gospel message is that no one can keep God's law.
Right.
Right. That's why Jesus came to die. That is the heart of the gospel. And Jesus is teaching gospel truth here.
Yeah.
No one can keep the law. Mm. We're all sinners and we're all lost unless someone saves us, which there he was getting ready to do it.
I know the thing that his forgiveness too. I saw that I was reading a book about this. It was a commentary and it was, what is his name? N.T. Wright wrote this. He said, forgiveness is not the same as tolerance. Being forgiven doesn't mean that sin doesn't matter. On the contrary, forgiveness means that sin does matter, but that God is choosing to set it aside.
Yes.
So I think about at the end when he's like, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't that adultery isn't this terrible, hurtful thing.
No.
So he wasn't dismissing it. He was forgiving. And because he gave it that forgiveness, he was showing everyone how grave it really was.
Absolutely. Yeah. And
mind-blowing.
Yeah. Both parts are so important, that what Jesus said, even it was such a short thing, but both parts were so important.
Yeah.
You're forgiven. Don't do it again.
Mm.
And again, like you were saying earlier, it's really for our own good.
Yeah.
Right? We don't get pleasure out of sin long term. I wonder how much pleasure you get short term, you know?
Right.
Really.
Yeah.
But we certainly don't long term. We just create more big messes.
We do.
So, oh, that was so cool. Well, okay. I am going to share some of my stories about adultery with the time that we have left. When I was in high school, I had a good friend whose dad was well known as a follower of Christ. Mm. He came from a, quote, good Christian family. And his father decided that he'd had a vision from God that told him he could divorce his wife and marry his secretary.
Oh, my.
He announced it to everybody. The Lord has given me a special dispensation, basically.
Wow.
It rocked our community,
yeah,
obviously, and off he went with his secretary. And, you know, there's so much collateral damage, mm-hmm, Nicole. My friend got into drugs. Of course, mm-hmm, I was back in the LSD days.
Right.
And he was out of his mind a lot of the time because of that.
Wow.
I was actually in a car with him once.
Yeah.
And he must have had, he was either on a LSD trip then,
yeah,
or I can't remember the words anymore. It's been too long. Thank you, Lord. That has been a long time since I've had to talk about this. Or he had a flashback.
Oh, yes, yes.
But he was not rational, and he was driving me at a high speed.
Oh, that's terrible.
And I remember praying and saying, Jesus, I can't even jump out of this car. I do not know what to do. Help me, help me, help me, help me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I felt just such a peace, mm-hmm, like God was holding me, and yeah, and I did get home safely. But within 2 days of that, he was in a psychiatric ward.
Oh, that's so, yeah, sad.
And there's just huge fallout,
yeah,
when adultery happens, huge fallout. So Ray and I have built our walls super high because, mm-hmm, of not just that, but other incidences we've seen. Kind of silly high sometimes, I think. But, you know, we will not be in a car alone, mm-hmm, with a member of the opposite sex, you, mm-hmm, know, and we're just really, really, really careful.
Yeah.
To the point that one day I was at church and I was talking to one of the pastors after. This was a long time ago, different church. And we were bonding, you know,
yeah,
because we were just so joyful about God.
Yeah.
But there was something in the bonding that went a little askew. Like, mm-hmm, we really liked each other.
Yeah.
And the first thing I did when I went home from church was say, I had a look today that I didn't like.
Mm.
And I returned it, you know, so, yeah, we need to pray about this. And no kidding, the next Sunday, he was one of several pastors. He wasn't there. And the head pastor said, he's going to be helping at another church for 6 months. It came,
oh,
up suddenly.
Sharon.
That was one look.
Wow. I know, but that's where it starts.
That's
right?
Where it starts.
So it's wise to guard yourself.
And when Jesus says things like, if you even look, gouge out your eye,
yeah,
he didn't gouge out his eye, but he left,
mm,
for 6 months. Mm. And I told Ray, and Ray's so Ray. Okay.
I just love him.
Okay.
You know.
So it was no big deal. But it could have been.
Yeah.
Right? It could have been a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm so glad it wasn't.
Yeah. And when you built up good communication too, it showed that you trusted your husband, you loved him enough to bring the silly little things to him.
Yes.
That when added up become not silly little things.
Right.
They become affairs. So
right,
I think it's wise to be almost hypervigilant against this.
Well, it beats the alternative, being undervigilant.
Right? It's true, though. I think when we were first married, we saw a lot of our friends and older people that we admired in our church and in our lives, their marriages falling apart, and a lot of it was due to unfaithfulness. And it scared Josh and I. Like, well, if they can't stay married, like, what hope do we have?
Right.
So we also kind of became hypervigilant against that. I've always, when we moved a lot as kids, and there was always boys in my church or boys in the kids groups we were in. So I've always been friends with boys and comfortable with them. But the same thing, just setting that you can communicate with a male, but just being careful. Like if they ever talk about their wife or have something to share that's a struggle, let me get my husband and let's pray with you together.
Right.
Never allow
exactly
that level of intimacy with a man that's not my husband.
Exactly.
And then if nowadays with texting. If I text my husband's friend because of something, oh, hey, I shot so-and-so a text about fixing the car next week. Yeah. Okay, great. Oh, hey, I mentioned to your friend. So we're always either telling each other or we're including each other in the conversation. Like, oh, I'll text my husband and his friend something I found. Mm-hmm. So it's little things, but I hope it's always enough to keep me from having to cut off my hand.
Yes.
Because that doesn't seem very pleasant.
Oh, I so agree. I so agree. And, you know, the result of that is a deeper love for our guys who are doing the same thing.
Yes.
And a knowledge that they, too, want what we want, which is a pure relationship with each other. Yeah. Nothing beats that.
No, because you feel like you're fighting for the same thing, your marriage. Yeah. And then also for your children, too. Like, I look at my girls and the story about your friend who went to drugs. It's just... having parents go through something like that is devastating.
It is. Period.
For everyone. So that's, if I can help prevent that for my own family, by my own non-stumbling, then I'm going to fight for that.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. So those are our stories. But I'm thinking as we're talking, there's people listening who have committed adultery, who have been unfaithful, and this is hard for them to hear. And can I just say to you, you're still loved.
Absolutely.
Jesus says to you too, I don't condemn you. Come to me, get washed clean, start fresh. I just so love that about our Lord Jesus. And, you know, I am guilty of a lot of sins.
Yep,
pride,
<too. laughs>
pride being way up there. God has to smush me on a regular basis because of pride. And pride is just as bad, if not worse.
Oh, yeah.
So this is not meant to make anybody feel worse about themselves.
Right. There's no worse sins and better sins. They're all sins.
No, they're all sins. Yep. So we love you. And if you felt bad for a little bit, I'm sorry. But remember that Satan condemns, God convicts.
Yes.
If you felt condemnation, that was not from us or from God. If it's a conviction, you better act on it. Mm. Well, let me pray. Oh, Father, we just say words. That's all we do here. And yet how we want your word to go forth to every person that's listening for your good purposes. Please help no one misunderstand. In Jesus' name, do not let the enemy get in and condemn when what you want to do is convict and bring freedom. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks for listening to today's episode. I'm still in awe of God's grace and mercy to us when we absolutely don't deserve it. And yet he loves us anyway and longs for us to live in freedom from sin. And we can. We simply need to turn to him. If you have any questions about how to have a relationship with Jesus, we would love to hear from you. Please email us at nicole@sweetsela.org. If this podcast was a blessing to you, it would mean the world to us if you shared it or wrote a review. We get so excited when we hear from our listeners. And please join us next time for episode 158, Jesus, Women and Money.